From ACB Radio Mainstream, welcome to Tuesday Topics. For the next hour, we will be discussing a topic of interest to blind and visually impaired people. And now, from Miami, Florida, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Good evening. I am Paul Edwards, and I'm in Miami, Florida, where the temperature is a balmy 75 degrees with a gentle 15-mile-an-hour breeze. We are deep in the heart of spring training as we record this, and that's a good thing for those of us who are baseball fans. I'd like to thank Brian Charlson, our producer, for his work, and particularly Steve Bauer, our inimitable recorder-editor, who does such an excellent job of keeping us together. And obviously, as usual, I need to raise my glass to George Bies from Talking Communities, who makes these programs possible by creating the software and by keeping it out there for us and by continuing to work to make that software better and better as time goes on. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we get to talk about a topic that I enjoy talking about and enjoy listening to, and that topic is old-time radio. And we have as our guests two folks who are directly involved with old-time radio on the Internet and also who are directly involved with actually producing some programs of old-time radio that they'll have an opportunity to tell you about. To begin with, then, let's start with our first guest, who is Joni Leonard, and ask Joni if she would tell us a little bit about how she got interested in old-time radio, and then perhaps a little bit about what she does with it these days. Joni, welcome to Tuesday Topics.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's good to be here, and thank you for having me. Well, I got involved with old-time radio when it was just plain radio. When I was born, I was the first person with ROP, retinopathy of prematurity, in New Jersey, the third in the country. And I guess I was in the hospital for 3 months, and when my parents brought me home from the hospital, I cried a lot. This is what they told me. And I cried and cried until one day they put the radio on, and I shut up and I started to listen. And it seems that the radio was on a lot, and I absorbed a lot, and just by osmosis, I suppose, and I got very interested in all kinds of programs, because in those days, radio consisted of, well, there was talk radio. It was different from what there is now, but better than that, there was comedy, drama, musical shows, just a whole buffet of anything and everything that you could imagine. The news, of course, and I just listened and listened and listened. And in many situations, they took shows off the air, and they never came back. And that was always a difficult thing, especially as the 50s and then the 60s came, and most comedy and drama and really the good dramatic shows and mysteries were taken off the radio. So I've always loved listening to the radio. To me, it's always been a wonderful thing for blind people. And I remember when we got our television set, and I was about 9 then, and I said that I felt that this was going to be the death knell for radio, and it was.
Excellent. And our other guest, Fred, and Fred, I'm my senility is developing rampantly here, so you'll have to give me your last name again if you would, sir. But Fred, our other guest, is also an old-time radio aficionado. Fred, where did you get your interest in old-time radio? Did you just sort of grow up with it and continue to be interested by osmosis, or did you come to it in a different way?
It's Bertelsen is my last name. And yes, I did grow up with it. Not to the extent that Joni did. I spent more time listening to Los Angeles Police Department's radio calls, since at that time they were on the high end of the AM band, and it was quite interesting. So I spent more time listening to that, I think, than anything else. But in the 80s is when I really became interested in old-time radio. I heard a radio station in San Diego, which was where I was living at the time, was playing old-time radio programs in the evening. And they were twin stations, his and hers, Mexican call letters in Spanish, of course, XH, I don't remember exactly what they were, but it originated from the Royal Inn at the Wharf in San Diego. And one time they played a rehearsal episode of Gunsmoke, an episode titled The New Hotel. A lot of people are familiar with not only that particular episode, but the rehearsal as well. That just sort of was the hook set for me, and I've been collecting ever since. I have built up a collection that's not the biggest in the country, that's for sure. But I've got about between 25 and 30,000 individual programs, near 700 different series. So I'll be a periodic program on radiooutofthepast.org called Memory Lane, in which we lately, the last 10 episodes of the series, we've been exploring old-time radio police and private detectives.
So you do a show called Memory Lane, and Joni, you also do a show, and is yours on the same internet station, so to speak, Radio Out of the Past, or is it somewhere else? And what is it called, and what does it consist of?
Well, my show is really not old-time radio. My show is music, much of which was on old-time radio, but it tends to be a musical show, and different people that come into the room play the music that they like. For example, today Fred played a lot of Joe Stafford, and it was just very enjoyable. We have a very relaxed atmosphere, and I'm on Radio Out of the Past on Tuesday afternoons from 4 Eastern to around 6 o'clock Eastern. It's not a good time for a lot of people, but it's a very informal, fun place, and people play very, very good music, and it's very enjoyable. And the music that's played can really be of any type. Well, we don't really like rap music or anything like that, but not exactly old-time radio, but music that possibly or probably appeared on old-time radio.
So, Fred, when we talked about doing this show, you indicated that perhaps you'd be able to find a clip or two to give us a flavor of the kind of old-time radio that you guys are involved with at the moment. Is that a possibility?
It's a very real possibility. Since I don't have administrative access in here, I can't use the onboard player, so I'm going to have to play into the room with Goldwave, and it takes a few seconds to transition. So give me a second, and I'll hit you with something that will excite Joni a little bit anyhow.
Fred hasn't told you, but he is a big part of the Old Time Radio Researchers group, and a great contributor to that, and very knowledgeable in that area. Finding things and always looking up stuff and finding them, and adding a great deal to that particular group.
From the heart of the jungle comes a savage cry of victory. This is Tarzan, Lord of the Jungle. From the black core of dark Africa, land of enchantment, mystery, and violence, comes one of the most colorful figures of all time, transcribed from the immortal pen of Edgar Rice Burroughs, Tarzan, the bronzed white son of the jungle.
Fred, thank you, Fred. Everybody in our Thursday night group, not everybody, but many people know that when I was a young teenager, I had a crush on Lamont Johnson, who played Tarzan. And every Saturday night at 8:30, I was by my radio listening to Tarzan, and I just loved it, and I still do. Thank you, Fred.
It really is wonderful how much excitement old-time radio can still elicit. Fred, tell us a little bit about this old-time radio researchers group and the work that you do with them.
The old-time radio researchers group is a Yahoo group. What we do is we collect old radio shows, get them into series, try to get the complete series, which we've been successful in a lot of instances. The group puts together the cleanest possible shows, traces the history, puts together logs that describe the series and the individual shows. When a series has been processed all the way through, audio briefs are created, pictures of cast members, if any, can be found, all sorts of different types of supplemental information are gathered, put together in a collection, and then offered for free for the asking for anybody who would be interested in having them perpetuate old-time radio.
Oh, that really is quite excellent. So if somebody wanted to get to listen to you and Joni, they would simply turn on their web browser and go to radioutofthepast.org. Is that right, Fred? And tell us when your program is on.
Well, Radio Out of the Past, we're on a kind of a rotating basis. There's this is a rough estimate because I haven't been keeping track, but there's about 6 presenters who present on a regular basis, one a week, every Thursday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and www.radioutofthepast. My show airs in rotation with everybody else's, so just about everybody has their own theme that they've worked out. Rob Hansick does Yesterday Once More. Matt Cox, who is in the room with us right now, whom everybody remembers from his podcasting episode, has Cruising the Classics, in which he plays programs related to classic novels. And Jean Balour has his When Radio Was. And there are a couple others which, right off the top of my head, I can't think of right at the moment.
Now, we'll start with Joni, and I'm not sure if this is going to catch you off guard, Joni. Radio Out of the Past is not by any means the only source on the Internet for old-time radio. Are there some other favorite places that you like to listen to old-time radio on the Internet?
Well, absolutely. One of my favorites is otrnow.com. This gentleman, his name is Rick, he plays radio shows. Well, he has two different parts of this website. Otrnow.com, he plays everything, a little comedy, a little drama. He doesn't really play any, well, yeah, I guess he does play music like Al Jolson, Bing Crosby, stuff like that. And then he has another part of that site called Crime Time, where he plays nothing but crime drama all day and all night. And he changes his shows every 12 hours. So you can start listening if you listen from noon to 6, I'm sorry, Midnight. I'm getting confused here. Anyway, tune in his site because he really plays some very good shows. There's no talking in between. He just plays one show after the other, after the other, after the other. And you can listen either on the regular site. You can listen on Live 365 or your own player or Windows Media Player. So he gives you a lot of choices that you can listen to the things on. And he's got a very good website. There are a lot of OTR websites. They do change, though. So if you're interested in downloading shows, you can go to radiolovers.com. But again, if you haven't visited a site for a while, sometimes they're not up there anymore. So I find that OTR Now, that's my home page. There is a site called Yesterday USA. That's www.yesterdayusa.com. That's the first place that I ever found Old Time Radio on the Internet. One of my friends had told me about it. I never really thought I'd get into being a computer person. And when I was told about it, that's when I bought a computer, because Old Time Radio, that was back in the end of 96. And Yesterday USA, I'm going to tell you about it with a caveat. They're always asking for money, money, and more money. So they have some good ideas out there, but just beware. And I wouldn't donate to them, but I'll listen to their shows. There are several other websites. A good idea is to Google and see what you can find that is currently available. I go to different ones. Right now I can't think of too many more because I am on OTR Now. I might slip in a couple ideas for shows, though, because Chuck Shaden is an authority on old-time radio. He is wonderful, and you can listen to him on www.dcb.org. He's on this small station in Chicago, in Glen Ellyn, Illinois, a college station, which is an NPR station. He's on every Saturday from 1 to 5 Central Time. He plays wonderful shows, and as an authority, he's a Hall of Famer for the Radio Hall of Fame, and he's got excellent taste in OTR. He really knows the subject, and best of all, he was there when it was on. So he really has favorites, and he's a very entertaining gentleman. I have a lot of respect for Chuck. In the month of February, every February, for every Saturday afternoon, every February, he plays Jack Benny, because it's Jack Benny month, and those were the days. That's his show. Those were the days. And extremely good, and I advise everybody to take a listen to that.
Fred, do you have some other websites that you would add to Joni's list in terms of places where people can find some pretty cool old-time radio?
Sure do. One of the first ones that I discovered is a site that sells OTR, and they sell it via an FTP server, so you can buy a gigabyte for, I think it's like $7.50, and go download all you want until you've used up your gigabyte, or you can buy it in larger quantities, of course. They have about 20 or 30 web pages, and every page has a streaming program on it, and they're all different. And that is digitaldelifTP.com. That is not an FTP site. That is their main page, but it will get you a lot of listening. OTR Cat. Again, John is a dealer. but he has free shows posted up there every day that you can go download and listen to at your convenience, or you can listen to them while you're online. There are several places like that. Joni mentioned Radio Lovers. Radio Lovers, you can download any of the programs that they have up there that you would like to have in your collection, or you can just sit there and listen for hours on end. A lot of great old-time radio. And they're just, well, I did this last night, actually. I did a Google search on a subject line of free old-time radio shows. And I got back 67,300,000 listings for. I'm sure a lot of those are repeats and repeats and more repeats, but there are an endless number, really, of places you can go, and Google will give them up to you real quick.
And another place to go to listen is billsparks.org. We want to put in a plug for Bill. He has Remember Radio, I think, Marcia, is that what it's called? I'm mixed up a little bit as to exactly what it's called, but you can hear old-time radio on his site, and you can also search for OTR sites on his site as well. And you know, it's always fun to just look and find a new site. I was looking for a site that I used to go to and I couldn't find it, but it was called Zoot Radio, but I guess I hadn't put it in my favorites. I usually do put these things in my favorites, and I don't know if it's not there anymore or if I just didn't find it. But that was great because you could listen to a lot of different old-time radio dramas that were, for example, one of my favorite ones is called Snake Doctor. It was on Escape. And you could listen to about five or six different renditions of the same show. And one time I just listened to about six Snake Doctors right in a row because I wanted to see how they were done differently, and that was so much fun.
From ACB Radio Mainstream, you are listening to Tuesday Topics. If you have comments about the show or a suggestion of a topic you would like to have discussed, send a message to TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. That's TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. Once again, the host of Tuesday Topics, Paul Edwards.
Well, let's open it up. We have a number of folks in the room, and let me let you guys decide what you want to talk about. Perhaps you have questions for Fred and Joni. Perhaps you have some favorite sites to add to our list. Perhaps you want to take us in an entirely other direction. So jump in, but please remember to tell us who you are and where you're from.
Hi, Paul. Robert Acosta, Chatsworth, California. You guys are doing a great job. I did want to mention again regarding www.radiooutofthepast.org that we feature old-time radio chatter and programming at 8 p.m. on Thursdays Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And also we feature it at Saturday morning at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time, 11:30, 8:30 in my country. And it's called Brunch with the Brits. And the hosts are Matt Cox and Fred Bertelsen. And it's just begun. It's been about 9 or 10 weeks. And it's just fantastic. British drama is just terrific. And then Saturday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Rob Hansick does Yesterday Once More, his show. And we have chatter. We always like to talk. We love to talk about old-time radio and many other things. And then Sunday night, Walt Cohn does shows at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. We also have Canadian radio, www.cotra.ca, Katra.ca, and Fred's involved with that. and a lady named Devin Wilkins runs that. She's from Canada, and it's at 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday. So old time radio, at least from our perspective, is alive and well. And of course, we never want to forget Treasure Trove, because I listen to that when I can. I love the programming there using the Radio Entertainment Network. And so we're very fortunate. It's out there on the Ethernet.
Thank you, Bob. And it's very good to hear your voice back in an ACB area. There are loads of us who've missed you. Yes, just to complete Bob's commercial, Treasure Trove is one of the channels of ACB Radio. And I was president when ACB Radio started, and I really pushed very hard for us to take the time and effort to create Treasure Trove when we were setting it up. So right from the beginning, when ACB Radio started, we had our Treasure Trove channel up and running, and it's run pretty continuously for a long time. And one of the things that of course was interesting about Treasure Trove as it operated is it's one of the few radio stations that really did play an international selection of old-time radio. So many of the stations that are on tend to be stations that play primarily American old-time radio, but there is so many English language programs that have come from elsewhere. And maybe since he's there, we could ask Matt Cox to tell us a little bit about his program and also about the other Brit sorts of things that he's doing. Mr. Cox, sir.
Mr. Edwards, I thank you oh so much. Bob, you forgot to mention Sports Talk. Even though it has necessarily anything to do with drama, that's also going on, and we do listen to some very exciting sports radio clips. I did that primarily to watch Joni's eyes turn. Anyway, Brunch with the Brits is a program that was actually born on a wonderful afternoon in September last year when I first joined Radio Out of the Past and met Fred. In fact, it's an interesting story. I met Fred and we were just talking, and I was talking about some BBC programs. He was playing a BBC program on Thursday evening as part of Memory Lane, and I told him I enjoyed it, and I was telling him about a program I was looking for, and bang, he had that program to me so quickly because he just happened to find it on a newsgroup. Well, my computer went down, long story short, and I had to take it away to get it repaired, so I was gone for a bit, plus I was working nights and for a time. And when I got back to working days and things somewhat became normal again, and I was working from home and I got my computer back, I contacted Fred, and Fred was teaching me how to host, and I said, you and I really ought to look into hosting a show for BBC Drama. And at first we thought about using our own room to do it, just picking, you know, asking Pat for a room here at Accessible World, and Bob was so gracious and said, no. He said, you're gonna play here. And we started playing at RadioOutOfThePast.org, and we play, if it's British, we have it. We try to go for comedy, mystery, drama. This week I'm playing part one of an Anthony Trollope novel. Fred is finishing up a Bing Crosby documentary with part five. We've got two more parts to go. And he very well may play part one of as time goes by, but then again, he might have something else in the kettle. We don't know what yet. He and I have been visiting back and forth about that. We still have to finish that meeting. So we play a lot of, if it's drama, comedy, panel shows, documentary, we play the best of the BBC that we can find. And we're getting it off of torrents, we're getting it off of news groups, we're getting it from our contacts that we have on various BBC groups, and we're having a good time. I played an Inspector West dramatization, and Fred's got some very exciting Sherlock Holmes up his sleeve.
And this is at 11:30 Saturday mornings. Is that 11:30 Eastern, therefore 8:30 Pacific, or 11:30 Pacific?
It's 11:30 Eastern. So I try and get in the room at 8:20, between 8:15 and 8:20, just so we can watch people come in.
It used to be an hour earlier, but the Pacific Coast people didn't like that. They thought that 7:30 was too early for them on a Saturday morning. So then they changed it to 8:30 Pacific, and 11:30 Eastern.
Let's see if some of the other folks who are here have questions or issues or other things they'd like to add.
Hi, this is Marcia from Canton, Michigan, and I have one more site that's very good. You could go to www.billsparks.org and enter on the Remember Radio Room. And Bill is hooked up with the Antioch Broadcasting Network, and I'm not sure where they're out of, but they play all kinds of cool shows, and they try to present content on a given day. For example, they would try to do shows from March 18th from various past years, and that's kind of neat. So there's another one to consider.
Thanks, Marcia. I couldn't remember the name of the. I mean, I did say billsparks.org, but I couldn't remember whether it was Remember Radio. And Rick does that on OTR now, too, that he tries to pick out shows from a given day, as you said, that Antioch Radio does, March 18th, and he will play different shows from that same day. So that around summer vacation time, everybody's taking their... You know, he'll play the last program, maybe of a particular year, and they'll all say, well, we'll see you in the fall. And it might be about June 23rd or something like that, just as a day. And these shows are going off for an 8-week break.
Hi, this is Monica Willyard. I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, and I have a question for Fred. Fred, if someone has found that they really like the OTR, they've listened to it for a little bit, but say they didn't necessarily grow up with it, they're younger, what are the requirements for helping out with the researchers group? Do you need to be a certain age, or can younger people participate?
Very good question. No, there are no age requirements. Anybody can research on the Internet and find information about people like Humphrey Bogart or Orson Welles or any of the other radio names and put them together in an article, maybe some pictures, record audio briefs, which are usually in the form of a biography of a particular star of a particular show, or the series description is also usually recorded. There's a lot of different things people can do. You don't have to be any specific age to go out there and collect. And almost as much of the materials that are distributed by this group comes from dealers that somebody has purchased. A division this group has, I believe it's 6, maybe 7 subgroups within it. One of them is called the purchasing group, and they go out to dealers who deal in tapes or discs, not CDs, but transcription discs, like the old phonograph records, and buy shows from them, and then they digitize them, and all of a sudden shows that were not available are now available because they've gone out and purchased them. They spend anywhere from $5,000 to $10,000 a year of their own money. They have a pool that they kick in, I think it's $5 a month, and when they get enough put together for whatever they feel that they want to purchase, they'll go get it. So people do things like what they call second listening. Every show has to be authenticated, and that means somebody has to listen to every program to be sure it's what it says it is, that the storyline or the guest is who it's supposed to be, make sure the information on a program is correct, and all this has to be done. So just about anybody can volunteer to do any of that work. Don't have to be any specific age, because we're not working from memory. We're working from a database of the New York Times, the Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, and the Chicago Tribune that we actually have online now. with all the radio listings from those newspapers from 1930 through 1950. Some of the guys that accumulated and put it together in the form of a database. So there's a lot of things that can be done.
Is there a website that people can look at in order to get more information on these researchers?
The researchers' website is www.otrr.org.
Thank you, sir. Let me ask a question of Joni, then. We know Fred is a collector, Joni. Are you also a collector, or do you tend to be an internet lurker? And if you are a collector, tell us a little bit about how you acquire your collection. I know that one of the things that amazes me is just how much difference there appears to be in knowing the right places to shop for old-time radio, because I know if you buy old-time radio in some of the more traditional places, it can be extremely expensive, or at least it seems to me that it is. And yet there are other places where you can get huge amounts of old-time radio for a relatively modest sum. So tell us a little bit about your collection, Joni, and Fred, I'll ask you to do the same after Joni's done. And then tell us about places where you would recommend people look for old-time radio and the pros and cons of collecting in various ways.
Yeah, I collect it. I used to collect it on cassette. I would record from shows that were on the radio. For example, we have a wonderful old-time radio program produced by a gentleman named Max Schmid, and he's on the net also, but it's wbai.org, and I used to record his show every Sunday night on cassette and got a great many good shows from his program, because he plays some very, very good old-time radio. Well, I discovered MP3s, and so I've started downloading shows from various places. People put shows on SendSpace. I bought a lot of shows. One time I won a prize from Bill Sparks, and I won $100 worth of old-time radio, went through his catalog, and went absolutely crazy. And that built up my collection. And people have given me gifts, and I've bought from other sites. And I've built up a collection downloading from different sites. I downloaded a lot of stuff from RadioLovers.com when I first learned how to download, and that was on a dial-up system, and it would take 3 hours to download a 15-minute show sometimes. And I just find it where I can, and series that I like, I collect. And then I've gone to the Friends of Old Time Radio conventions here in Newark, New Jersey, and dealt with a lot of dealers that come from all over the country to that convention. And I love MP3s, and you know, people that want very, very high quality old time radio. Well, when I was growing up and we used to listen to old time radio on AM radio, the quality wasn't so great, but that's why I don't mind, or rather, I should say, I understand sometimes when the discs are not the best quality, because the shows. I mean, sometimes you'd hear whistles and buzzes and sounds in your radio, telephones dialing and lightning when there were thunderstorms and all kinds of stuff. So I think actually that a lot of OTR has been cleaned up amazingly well. So I guess that's what I have to offer on that.
Fred, you want to tell us or add your 2 cents on collecting, and then we'll open it up to see if some other people have ideas about collecting.
Sure. The biggest majority of my collection has come not from dealers and not from recording it, but it actually has come from downloading MP3 files off the Usenet newsgroups. There's three Usenet newsgroups for old-time radio. There's three for BBC radio. A lot of good material is there. And I still find rare shows in the... Well, of course, once they've been released to general circulation like that, they're not really rare shows. But shows that have previously not been freely circulating, I found some old Count of Monte Cristo from the 30s. Even David Golden didn't have in his collection. So it was about four of them, I believe it is. I do a lot of trading with another collector as well, and he and I work to almost what the old-time radio researchers are doing, although we're not putting them up in sets and offering them for distribution, but we do make them available to anybody who wants them. The biggest majority of their certified series, and certification means that a lot of work and time has gone in series, putting it together, writing audio briefs, writing up descriptions, and so on. And their series are all available, with the exception of a few, which, because they're still under copyright, can't be freely distributed. But the biggest majority of their series are available on archive.org. That's just archive.org. And they're there just for the downloading. And all we ask is that you appreciate and enjoy the shows and help perpetuate the hobby. A word of caution when dealing with dealers, I don't preclude it, but I try not to if I don't have to, because dealers do not pay careful attention to the series on the biggest majority of dealers. There are a few that are really good, and they've been in business for a very long time, and they're really reputable. But there are a few who just will sell you a CD full of shows, and the same show might be on that CD three or four times. They'll give you programs that say they're Lux Theater, and it turns out they're Gangbusters. These are the kind of things you got to watch out for. Otherwise, most of the dealers are really reputable. If there's any problems or issues, they'll straighten them out for you. No problem. Especially OTR Now, OTR Cat, and some of the other dealers who deal in audio recordings.
One of the questions, and Fred, I'll direct this to you, and then if other people want to jump in with a response as well. We're in an interesting place right now. At least it seems to me that we are, in that old-time radio, when it was originally aired, was often recorded on transcribed discs, and many of the radio programs have actually been, if you like, remastered with Dolby technology or with other noise reduction technology that's actually, I think, in some respects, made the quality of those radio programs better than they were originally. So first, do OTR people have any objection to remastering old-time radio? And second, is there any way to tell when you're acquiring, say, MP3 files or other versions, whether those files have in fact been remastered and Dolby'd, or is it just a matter of sometimes they are and sometimes they aren't?
It's pretty much a matter of sometimes they are, sometimes they aren't. There's one collector, Cliff Marsland, who puts out a lot of shows on the newsgroups, the Usenet newsgroups, and he'll put right on there, cleaned, which means he's gone through and taken out all the noises that don't belong and done everything he could to clean up and enhance the audio. So he tells you about it, and he's got some good shows. We're not looking at a high dollar value, really, as far as anything goes. On the old-time radio programs, because you can get a CD. The average cost of a CD from a dealer is $5, and it's usually whatever he has for a particular series. Or in some cases, you can get just a CD full of random shows. And they're all about run about the same price, and some of them don't even charge you extra for shipping. Clean shows like that that have been remastered are desirable for listening quality, but they're not historically correct, so therefore they wouldn't have any real collector's value, if you will, although old-time radio is so plentiful, I don't know that any of it really has a collector's value. You know, if you just want to listen, get the best quality you can find. If you want to collect, then you got to sort through some culls to get to the good stuff. And that's half the fun of it, because when you're going through the culls, you sometimes find that's certain stuff. Just through all that are heard on Usenet and so on, and see what I can find that's different, unusual, and not too readily available.
Let me throw another issue out there. In terms of old-time radio, 1930 to 1950 certainly was the heyday of old-time radio, but there are actually also some fairly interesting things that were going on radio in the 60s and the 70s. I think there are things like fire sign theater, and I think that mystery theater ran for quite a long time on CBS radio. Do people actually consider programs that were broadcast in the 60s and the 70s old-time radio, or do we actually draw a line at a particular year? Joni, let me ask you to tackle that one.
Well, a lot of purists, real purists, like to consider that the last old-time radio was done in 1961, when the last episode of Suspense and the last episode of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, went off the air. I think, for my own purposes, not exactly old-time radio, but yes, radio, CBS Radio Mystery Theater was a and Theater 5, which was a show that was aired in the mid-60s, around 65, 64, something like that. Mystery Theater came in the 70s. Hyman Brown was trying to bring old-time radio back. You had the Sears Theater, Radio Theater. You had Zero Hour, which was something that Rod Serling produced for, I believe, around a year or so. These were stabs at trying to bring back old-time radio, and they are radio drama, and I happen to like them. In the CBS Radio Mystery Theater, you got to hear a lot of people that were old-time radio stars and that were still alive, and that, for example, people like Ralph Bell, Leon Jenny, Mercedes McCambridge, Ken Roberts' son, Tony Roberts, who came in to do some mystery theaters, who later became very popular in some Broadway shows and I believe some movies, and they are very good. There were 1,399 CBS Radio Mystery Theaters, and it was on for about 8 years. So I personally consider them all old-time radio. Some better than others, but old-time radio had some good shows and had some terrible shows. So that's how it goes.
Other thoughts on old-time radio? Where should it begin? Where should it end?
Actually, yes, I have a question, sort of. I hear the frame 1930 through the 1950s. Were there no shows being done in the late 20s? And if so, what is the actual earliest show that perhaps the researchers have found intact?
That's a good question for Fred, I think.
Yeah, That's a good question. Radio didn't come into its prime until the late 20s, and then those were primarily local stations, shows of local origin, you know, programming. Of course, some of them turned into things like, which started a local program, I believe it was 1932, and it ran all the way through till 1953. WXYZ Detroit originated, the Lone Ranger, and several others. Notable series. But as far as what's the earliest that's intact is an elections result that was aired over station KDKA, which was at that time the only radio station in the country. And I do not remember the details of it. It's been too long ago since I've even thought of it. It does not have a place in my collection at the present time, but it's available on record, and it's out there. It can be had. It can be heard. John Beaulieu and I were listening to some old-time news clips earlier today from World War II, just found in the flips, which is what that election results from KDKA would be.
KDKA is in Pittsburgh, and it, I think, has the distinction of being regarded as the first continuously broadcasting station in the United States, and if my memory serves me correctly, it actually started to broadcast in 1920, and the election result is not from the 1920 election, but it is from the 1924 election. That's my recollection anyway. So it was the first election of Calvin Coolidge.
I beg to respectfully differ from our leader here, but it was Cox and Harding, 1920. And you're right about KDKA. There were other stations like KNX out in California, but they weren't official yet. They were out of garages, and KNX went a mile and such. Paul Edwards was a great ACB president and is a great leader of the blind. But the thing that I'll always remember him for is ACB radio, because in a real non-political way, he brought the blind of the world together. And I really commend Paul for his vision, he and John Mosen, and they were off and running. And congratulations to ACB radio.
Gosh, thanks very much, Bob. Let's see if someone, and by the way, thank you for the correction, Robert. I do appreciate it, and thanks for homing in on what that earliest old-time radio clip is. I am perfectly content to be corrected by the likes of you, sir. If someone has a final thought they'd like to share, by all means, let's go ahead and do it. And then we're going to wind tonight's program down with lots of thanks to our guests. So, final thoughts from someone.
Do you mind if I shoot one more clip in here?
Feel free, Fred. We'd love it.
Hi, everybody. Are you ready to take a stroll down memory lane? Got some great programs on tap for you here tonight.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. This is Johnson for Home. Present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, Jess Kirkpatrick, and me, Harlow Wilcox.
Do you hear me, honey?
What? What is it?
I got something important to ask you.
What?
Where does Puddler keep his Westchester book, I Want to Call the Cops?
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Now to tell you about next week's adventure,
Here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Ever see a magician pull the disappearing act on somebody? I always wondered how they did it, and then finally I found out. A carnival guy pulled the disappearing act on me. The only trouble was he was trying to make me disappear for keeps. I'll tell you about it next week. See you around.
This is Pat. I just want to say, while old-time radio has never been a part of my life, even though I'm at the age where it should have been, but I seem to go through that era without even knowing that it existed. But when I asked Bob to, when I actually gave him a room on my server, I had no idea that it would mushroom into being such a staunch supporter of this wonderful era of radio. And of all the things that we do in life that we're proud of, that's one thing I think that I can look back, and it was a great day when I offered Bob the room on my server for RadioOutOfThePast.org and everything else that he does on the server. When I offered that to him, I had no idea that it was going to be as great as it has been, and I'm proud of that because Bob has made it what it is.
Yeah, I'm proud of a lot of what you guys have done. You as the pioneer, and Bob is certainly a leader who has helped to spread the word with regard to Accessible World and some other things. I truly appreciate what you guys have done. I am very proud of where Internet radio has gone and where these rooms have gone. I think folks like you and I are beginning to demonstrate to people just how valuable this kind of room is in terms of being able to spread the word and to easily produce pretty high quality recordings that we can then share with others. So I'm just overjoyed to be a part of this technology. It's made a huge difference, and what you and Bob do is just wonderful. I'm overjoyed that you guys are out there.
Well, Paul, I want to thank you so much for having me on Tuesday Topics. It's been a privilege, and there is so much to old-time radio. I hope that you all will try to listen to as much as you can and enjoy it and appreciate it the way many of us do. And thanks again, Paul.
It's my pleasure, Joni, and thank you also, Fred Bertelsen. I'll get your last name this time. So our guests have been Joni Leonard and Fred Bertelsen. I'd like to thank them very much for sharing so much of their expertise, as well as the others who were with us this evening. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to our program on Old Time Radio tonight, and hope that everyone will tune in to Tuesday Topics next week. Remember, if you have an issue you'd like to raise with us, feel free to send us an email at TuesdayTopics@acbradio.org. And remember, even if what you listen to is old, you learn more than you do keeping your ears shut and listening to nothing. Good night, everyone.
To participate in the recording of Tuesday Topics, we invite you to join us on Tuesday evenings in the U.S. at 9 p.m. Eastern. That's Wednesday at 1 hour Universal. The program is recorded in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. That's ourplace.acbradio.org. All you need is a microphone that is plugged into your computer sound card. A few minutes before each program begins, those who are online will be happy to assist with audio checks and to answer questions about the chat room software. An announcement about the show, including information about the topic and the guest speaker, will be emailed to the ACB Radio Friends List. So we hope you will come and join us each week on Tuesday, when Tuesday Topics is being recorded. We'll look for you in the Our Place Politics chat room at ourplace.acbradio.org. Tuesday Topics is a production of ACB Radio Mainstream.